Well, I'm so excited that you're here to join me for Voice of Breakthrough, this podcast. So we are going to hit some powerful topics. Every single week, we will be having a new podcast with a new topic. So get ready. I'm telling you, this is great to exercise to. This is powerful to listen to when you're cleaning your house or cooking that dinner or cutting the grass, but you can turn up loud on your little iPhone or whatever you have there. Anyway, you're going to love this powerful, life-changing, every single week podcast of Voice of Breakthrough. If we kind of understand the Trinity, it might help you understand how this works. Amen? Because most people act like the Trinity is this gigantic mystery, and it's really not that big of a mystery if you get the mind of Christ. Amen? If you read the Word, you get the mind of Christ. It's awesome. Amen? And it's beyond how we're used to thinking. Sorry, I'm putting my shoe on for a second. But I want you to see this, and all this is in Colossians, but I'm just going to share this because if you understand this, you will stay out of condemnation. We have this Heavenly Father, amen? And he is in the very throne room of grace. There are angels all around and saints and elders, and they cannot even look up at him because he is so powerful and so mighty and so holy. He's a consuming fire. Literally, I think if you saw him, you would see this extreme major fire with this figure of this God, this King inside. Now, Jesus, the Bible says in Colossians, came forth from the Father, which made him the firstborn or the first to come forth. The whole idea of having children came from the heart of God because he knows his son came forth. So the great idea was, hey, let's have mankind come forth from the mom, where the husband and the wife came together in love and produced something powerful that has their image in there, amen, all in the image of God, and come forth. So Jesus came forth from the very consuming fire of the Father. He and the Father are one. He came forth from that, if you look in Colossians, and he created. He was the creator. He knew everything in the Father's powerful and mighty heart, his loving heart, and he came forth. It's like this everything consists in God. The Bible says there is nothing outside of God. So when Jesus comes forth as the Son of God or the Word, he was called the Word before he became in flesh. He became Word. The Word came forth from the Father, the very heart of God, the emotion of God, the soul of God, everything awesome of God came forth and began to create. And he called it into being, and he called it into being, and the worlds and everything just started going, and it's all in him. Amen? Now, Jesus, and it's all done by his Spirit. The Holy Spirit goes forth and does everything that comes forth from the Son, who is the Word, that comes from the heart of the Father. So you can kind of see three in one, right? Father, God comes, brings forth his Son, the Word, begins to speak forth everything that he wants and create. The Spirit that's all around the Father and the Father comes forth and does these things. So then Jesus comes, he comes to earth, and he comes in the form of a man. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. He was still the Word. Can we get that? What made Jesus Christ God, the reason he qualified as a man was because he had a soul, a spirit, and a human body. Because we're made in the image of God. Amen? So his flesh is what made him human, just so you get that. Amen? His flesh. He came, the Word became flesh. He didn't say he wasn't the Word anymore, did he? People preach it like he's just a man who gets born again. He was not a man who gets born again. He was God in flesh. We need to get this because then we'd understand the power of our God and we would quit being the ones trying to be powerful and we would embrace that we're in Christ and the very same God who came in flesh now comes in us. The greatest mystery of the gospel is that God made a way to send his own self by his Spirit into us, which makes us in Christ. The coolest thing about the gospel is not that God became a man, but that God made a way for man to become divine and a new creation in Christ Jesus. The big thing about this is that we have God living inside of us. There's nothing you can't overcome. There is nothing you can't overcome. There is no sin that can hold you if you really get the revelation that God himself lives inside of every born-again believer. If God's not in there, you are not his son or his daughter. It's that simple. But because he gives you a will, you can choose to either embrace that you're in Christ, you can choose the divine, powerful nature of this God, and you can enter into this new creation and yield to Holy Spirit, crucifying your flesh and sanctifying your thinking, renewing your mind. It's a whole new deal. Amen? So after the cross, so Jesus came in flesh. He came in skin. We got a really good teaching on this somewhere. He came in, he had to do that because he had to be the second Adam. I won't get into all that, but it's God's faithfulness to who he is. He's like, well, I sent the first Adam, and the first Adam, everything was perfect if he just did what I said, if he didn't want to be his own God. I'd take care of everything. Nothing could hurt him. Nothing could hurt him. But when he chose to disobey God and want to be his own God and understand knowledge and decide what's good and what's evil, which is judging and being critical and all the stuff we still do that God wants to get out of our heart. Amen? When they didn't think like that, they just enjoyed relationship with each other and relationship with God. Amen? Now, I personally don't believe that Christ lived in them then because he hadn't come yet. That was a part one. Amen? But Adam could have stayed in that perfect state of being taken care of by God. Now, we all know that God knew from the very foundations of the earth that he was going to send Christ. So he knew it wasn't going to work. Amen. He wrote the book. He wrote the story. He's an awesome author, and we don't get a say in that part. Amen. So he knew who would think he'd fall right away. But the temptations and wanting to take the place of God and all those things came instantly. Don't get upset with Adam. You'd have done it too. And many of you are born again of the Spirit of God, and you still fall back into sin and thinking on your own and trying to make your own decisions. Amen. So what God did, so he came as the second Adam, and you'll have to study, it's a teaching somewhere. He basically had to undo or fulfill the old covenant. So that's why he had to come as the second Adam, to die as the second Adam, so that the covenant that God made with Adam was over. So that there's a new covenant, okay? Now, the cool part was that nobody, even the angels never figured this out. The angels were amazed. So they saw Jesus die. They're like, why is he dying? They knew they could go and rescue him. They knew that all he had to do was have one thought connected with the thought of the Father, and legions of angels would come and take him off the cross and wipe out the whole human race. There was not even a 5-second thought that the whole entire human race could have been wiped out before Jesus suffered the very first whip. Amen? Not even problematic for God to say, it's over. Look what he did in Noah's day. But he had this awesome plan that he wanted us to be his family. It's beyond the kind of love any of us understand. It's beyond the kind of love any of us understand that God would suffer so much for us. It's amazing. It's an amazing, amazing love. And no one who refuses to bow their knee to him should be in the kingdom of God. And any area of your life that will not bow its knee to this awesome God who loves so much, it should cause you problems. Amen? You can't love money and God. You can't serve them both. You can't have idols because of who he is. Your idols cause your problems, just so you know. If you worry, you have idolatry. So just study on it, deal with it, go to God, yield it, and know that you are a new creation in Christ Jesus. So the whole powerful thing, the conclusion of this whole thing is Jesus came, and I've got all this in more detail and teaching back there somewhere, but he came as the second Adam. He did away with the first covenant, the one God made with Adam, and now it's a new day. And he made covenants with the Jewish leaders throughout time, Abraham, all these guys. So, and Abraham was the father of faith because what God did with Abraham was made a covenant with him that if he did all these rules and did all these kind of things, and he would what? Walk out in faith and just do what God told him to do without understanding anything. What was Abraham kind of doing? Abraham was kind of not eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil before the axe had been taken to the root of that tree in human man. Isn't that cool? So Adam really impressed God and was amazing to God because Adam would follow in faith. My gosh, God practically hands us silver platters and shows us things, and we're all acting like we're in the trial of a lifetime. Let's put some axes to the root of eating of the tree of good and evil and trying to figure everything out and reasoning and all these things, teaching on that anyway. The junk in you is your enemy. The junk in you is your enemy. No person, no devil. It's just the junk in you. That's why Holy Spirit came to what? Make you holy. So in this great plan of redemption and this oneness of this Father, Son, Holy Spirit, now Jesus dies, pays the price, does away with the old covenant, makes all things new. And the part that the angels had no idea about, which honestly, it seems like the church in the Western church has almost no idea about. And sometimes I feel like this is the key, folks. This is the key to you overcoming, not what you think in your head. The key to you overcoming is how you yield in your spirit to God himself guiding you and leading you. You are more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. We're going to really be studying this in Christ Jesus. It doesn't say looking at Christ Jesus or trying to be like Christ Jesus. It says in Christ Jesus. Get rid of the what would Jesus do bracelet and put Holy Spirit do what you want bracelet. Amen. And so this awesome mystery of this whole thing of salvation is, okay, I know I need a Savior. I recognize I need a Savior. The word saved is in scriptures like 94 times or something like that in New Testament. And it's a really good word study, and we don't have time to go over it today. But basically, you have to be saved. That is the word the scripture uses. The word saved means to have salvation, which brings wholeness. The word saved in scripture, if you study what it means to be made whole in every area of your life, in your spirit, in your soul, and in your body, which means it includes emotional healing, it includes healing the brokenhearted places, it includes salvation with your spirit gets saved, you know, you become one with God, then it includes healing your emotions, your reasoning, healing the lies, healing everything in the soulish realm, and then it includes healing your body. And all three of those are connected, amen? Because we're made in the image of God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, one God. There's three areas in your life, but one you. Amen? Amen? And so this is this awesome thing that here's the difference in us and anybody else. If you're born again because you accept Jesus Christ as Savior, he is the only way to the Father. No man can be saved without him. There's no way for salvation without him. That's not, oh, isn't that sad for people of religions? Do you understand it's not a religion? Christianity is not a religion. When they ask you, what is your religion? You can honestly get into a country that will not let Christians in, because if they say, what is your religion? You don't have to say Christianity, because Christianity is not a religion. Amen. Christianity is not a religion. There is a religion called Christianity, which is a watered-down version of truth, which takes all the things about the Bible that they want to take, and they put it in your head, but there's no in the spirit. There's nothing in Christ in it. And when you stand before, you won't stand before the Father. He won't. You can't get in to see him without the in Christ part. Amen. There's no big debate between anybody. The truth is, there can be people who are born again by the Spirit of the living God or saved according to scriptural terminology who can be in any kind of religion and find Jesus Christ and make him Lord of their life. Amen? So don't be shocked that there are some people who are saved in the Catholic Church and in the Protestant or Pentecostal Church. Praise God. In the evangelical church, even Jewish, salvation is about accepting Jesus Christ as Lord of your life and accepting his free gift of dying for your sins so that you are forgiven. Amen? Now, the mystery that came at Pentecost that even the disciples didn't understand, because they watched Jesus and they walked with the Holy Spirit with them and angels about them, and they did the works that Christ did, but they did not have Christ in them. They were not in Christ yet. Amen? And so what was amazing when God chose to pour out this thing that makes everything different, the new covenant, when it was poured out, the Holy Spirit came as tongues of fire. They could see it. They could tell it. They knew something had happened. Amen. And it shook the whole town, and people were speaking in other languages, and it was a wild time. Amen. And so God comes in, and he is a wild, powerful, mighty, likes to shake your flesh all around and quit looking so nice and pretty. Amen? He is an awesome God who wants people to know that he lives inside of us. He wants them to know that we are different. Amen? It doesn't mean everybody's going to have the same manifestations or whatever, but everybody should have authority in Christ. Amen? Everybody should have power in Christ. Everybody should have be more than conquerors in Christ. Everybody should be able to live a holy life in Christ. We're going to in Christ is in that term is in Scripture a lot. Amen. We're going to really look at what does it mean to be in Christ. It doesn't mean to look at Christ like you look at somebody. Like I want to be like it's in Christ. There's a different like okay, Caleb, Talia. Tina, you guys come here a minute. All right, come out here. You asked for it. All right, so we are now outside in the parking lot. But we are about to come in. We are now in Beauty for Ashes. We were in the parking lot, but now we're in Beauty for Ashes. There is a physical coming into. Whoa. In Christ is not a terminology that's just something in your head that's a cute little saying. It is a revelation that my spirit has joined Christ, and I am in the very spirit of the living God. I am in Christ. I am literally in Christ. And the scripture says, I believe it's in Romans, it says that Christ in you, this is only one time that uses the term exactly like this. Christ in you is the hope of glory. Christ in you is the starting point of true salvation. And Lord, it's like Christ comes in you when you accept for real Jesus Christ as Lord. You accept him with you speak it, because there's power in your words, because he's a God who's called word. You speak the word and you believe in your heart. In my spirit, I know something's real going on. This isn't my head being religious. There's something in my spirit saying, I want this God. Whoa, I want him. And all that entails. And when I want him as Lord, he comes into my heart. Amen. He comes into my spirit. And now Christ in me is the hope of glory. Christ in me is redemption. Christ in me is the beginning of the work of sanctification. Now here's how you get in Christ. You know, we're going to look at scriptures over the next couple weeks. When Christ comes in, he starts getting everything out of the way. If you let him, if you yield to him, that's your free will. Now here's the key. How do I go from Christ in me to me in Christ? How do I go from knowing he's inside to knowing I'm in him? Because like when we walked in, what happened? We're surrounded by the walls in here. We are in the midst of the atmosphere. We have access to everything that's in the building, right? Because we're in here. If we're outside in the parking lot, we can say, oh yeah, I know they got seats in there and there's a soundboard and there's some drums and you know, it feels really good in there when everybody's worshiping God and there's a sound system, right? But when I'm out there, all I can talk about is what's in here. I can go tell people, yeah, in Beauty for Ashes, you know, I'm not saying we're the most beautiful church, but we're who I like being casual, amen? Hey, I get to wear my I Got You Babe clothes. Got the hair. All the older people who know Sonny and Cher are laughing. Anyhow, with my big shoes. Okay, do you see what I'm saying? Out there, we can talk about what's in here. yeah, I went in once. And it's a okay, kind of cool beachy atmosphere. It's, you know, nice pictures on the wall. Some people are like, I've never been in. I haven't been in there, but someone told me they're really casual in there. Someone told me it's not like other churches when you go in there. When you get in Christ, he becomes your atmosphere. He becomes what you have available to you. He becomes everything. If you stay hidden in him, if you stay in him, everything about your existence is based on who he is and what he has and how he moves. And the coolest thing about being in him is the only way to do that is to have him in you and expanding his territory in you. He expands his territory in you. He begins to take over. What does he want to take over first? To be in Christ, what he inside of you, what is he going to deal with first? Let me finish the Trinity thing. Okay, so the Father is on the throne room. I believe the Father is always on the throne room. I personally believe that it was Jesus who walked in the garden. I believe the Father cannot leave the throne room in the sense that that's why he came forth as his Son. I believe he sees everything Jesus is seeing, and he participates in everything Jesus is participating in. And even when Jesus was the Word, it was he revealing himself that way because he's everything. He is the center of everything. Everything is at it because of him. There is nothing outside of him, nothing. So this, and he's not sad, poor guy, can't leave the throne. He leaves it every day in Christ. His spirit goes everywhere. But he himself is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He himself is never, ever going to be dethroned. Amen? He will never, ever be dethroned. Ever. He is so powerful and mighty that you cannot look at him and live. Amen? You cannot look at him and live. So I personally don't believe he was walking around the garden. I believe he sent the Word, and even then Jesus revealed himself in his glory. And they saw it. And I can't prove that, but it doesn't really matter. But we know that the Father is on the throne, right? Jesus is on the throne. I mean, Jesus is seated. Right now, after the cross, Jesus, the Bible says, is seated at the right hand of the Father. Now, I personally believe that he can go and hang out with people and everything in heaven, and he can bring us in to the throne room. And we all go into heaven through Christ. In Christ. It's through Christ that we go. We go to the Father through Christ. In other words, he is the way, the truth, and life. He is the door. Everything about your connection with the Father is because of the Son. Everything. Every revelation, everything. Everything's about Jesus. Just know that. God's cool with that because he and Jesus are one. Jesus said, when you see me, you've seen the Father. It's like quit trying to divide it all up, but recognize this all-consuming fire, this powerful, awesome, mighty beyond anything. Everybody, they are going to bow their knee when they see him. They're going to bow their knee before Jesus. But wait, I have a feeling when they see Jesus, it's going to be while he's seated at the right hand of the Father. Can you imagine the power of seeing this? They won't even be able to look up. They're going to not only be, when this is bow, they're going to be face down, just shaking. To go into that place without being in Christ, you're going to be consumed by that fire. The Bible says it's a very frightening thing to come into the presence of God if you're not in Christ. Amen? I'm glad he's my daddy. But if he's not your daddy, oh. You can be Mr. Big Shot down here. You can be the most political leader, cursing him. You can be an actress or actor, blaspheming him all you want. But wait till the day when you stand before him. We don't have to debate and argue about how big God is. If you know him, you know, ooh, everything in my heart needs someone to rescue them. Because every knee will bow, amen? And everyone will confess who Jesus Christ is. Whew, everyone. So after the cross, all right, we sent the Holy Spirit now, right? wow, Christ in me, Christ in me, the hope of glory. Think of it, all of a sudden, I am connected, seriously connected to the oneness of God. No wonder he doesn't want you filthy. Amen? No wonder he's not going to play with you forever in your filth. Amen? You got enough power in you, if you're born again, to kick every demon straight to hell in Jesus' name. Every one of this, it shouldn't even be that big of a battle. You just got to quit agreeing with your lust. You got to quit agreeing with your perverted appetites. You got to quit agreeing. There's no condemnation in Christ. Get out of condemnation and get in the kingdom. Amen? That's what we're getting in Christ. Remember last week we talked about splinters in your head? That was powerful. It's the best title of a series I've ever got to do. Well, we're going from splinters in our head to in Christ, the hope of glory. I'm in Christ. If I am born again of the Spirit of God, if you're born again of the Spirit of God, I want you to recognize that Christ is in you. I want you to say it out loud. Christ in me, the hope of glory. Say, Christ is inside of me. By his Spirit, I am born again. I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. And I'm going to live in that reality. And I'm going to renew my mind and agree with what God says about everything. And the parts of me that don't agree are either going to be cast out, healed the broken places, and totally renewed. That's your part. That's your part. Amen. That's what ministry's for. That's what true ministry is for. True ministry is to equip and train you to be ministers of reconciliation. True ministry is to come alongside you, not get in front of you. If you look up the word leader, if you really look it up in scripture, it's one who comes alongside. It's to come alongside. Stand up, Sybil, please. It's to see Sybil coming in here, you know, a new single mom, going through a painful time in her life, not having any idea what to do in some areas. And just come alongside her and the group leader saying, well, you know, you can do this. You can do all things through Christ who strengthened you. And just really coming alongside. That's why we need more people to pastor. We need more people to come alongside in small group settings who really know God. And then help that person get there. Not get in front of them and say, do what I say and here's how we do this. Amen? Not lord it over them, not feel in superior to them, but recognize even when you come alongside, you don't know what you're doing. Amen? You're just crying out to God, show me how to do this, teach me how to do this, because you're going to stand before God and give an account for every soul he brings to you to come alongside. Parents will give an account for how they raised their children. Every parent is going to give an account to God how they raised their parent in Christ. I'm going to tell you, if you didn't raise your children in Christ, wouldn't it be great to get it under the blood so you don't have that conversation when you get up there? Yes. See, everything under the blood is, if it's sincere, if you really repent, and if you had it to do over, you would do it different. That's how you know if you've repented. If I had this to do over, I would do it different. Amen? If you know that you know, if you had it to do over, you would do it different, then you've actually repented. And then you say, God, what do I do now? Wherever I'm at in relationships. Amen? And he'll change you from glory to glory. So here we have, we kind of have become one with God. Amen? Let me tell you a gigantic difference, okay? We can still walk away and not be one with God. We can still continue to sin to where we basically make the Holy Spirit leave us. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that will never happen to. That was the test that Jesus went through. But do you see what I'm saying? So, and I say this to say, once saved, always saved is not biblically sound. You can't find it in Scripture. So if you want to continue to sin, the Bible says, if you continue to sin after knowing God, after finding him to be real, there's nothing left to save you. That's how God feels about sin. Okay? Now, whatever's in you saying, oh, see, you're condemned. Well, tell it, shut up, you're condemned, because I'm going to get this message and get free. Amen? I'm going to start living my life in Christ and not in condemnation. I'm going to live in Christ. So here you have, let me show you how this works now. This is how I believe, mainly in Colossians. I got teaching on this, but it's very powerful because I asked God how it worked one day. You know, if you ask him stuff really wanting to hear, he'll actually show you in Scripture how things happen and work. He really likes revealing the mysteries to those who want to know them but aren't trying to be anybody and aren't trying to come up with something new, and you just want truth, and you study the word to be approved. Amen? He's really very much likes to hang out with us and talk to us about things. But we have to make time for him, and then we need to do what he tells us. Amen? It's an important thing that when God reveals things to you, you live it. Amen? You live out what he reveals. It's not like pick and choose. Oh, I don't think I like that part. Then you're in some big trouble. Amen? It's not a little thing. Can I just say, it's not a little thing to hang out with God. People have so made it so such a familiar thing while they're living in sin, they're hanging out with counterfeits. You cannot seriously come into the presence of a holy God without leaving, kind of like Isaiah going, oh my gosh, I'm unclean, Lord, help me. And my heart goes out to the younger generation. My gosh, you guys are bombarded with so much filth all the time. Disguised as news, disguised, it's all around everything. It's so filthy. I just pray for you. You talk about a generation that's going to have to be so sold out to even handle the amount of garbage coming at them. And can I just say, just get the devils out of you that like garbage. Just whatever it takes for you to hate that, hate it. It's so filthy. Can I tell you, quit reposting stuff that's got garbage in it. If they cuss, nobody has to read it. And if you put little stars with a letter and little stars by it that people instantly know it's cussing, it's the same thing. You know, it's like, don't repost. I don't be Holy Spirit. For me personally, I'm not reposting anything that has cussing in it. Even if it's a great story. You can do what God, you may have different set of friends or whatever, but I'm just saying, we want to be holy because he's holy. We want to have compassion because like your generation is just saturated with garbage. I don't even know how kids almost can handle it. It's everywhere. So we have to pray that Holy Ghost in them is so powerful that they can handle it. Holy Ghost in them is so powerful, we can't isolate them on an island because then they can't do anything for Christ. Amen? We just got to really pray. So anyway, so the way it works now is Christ, I say, here's Holy Spirit's in us, right? We are now one with God. How cool is that? That's why this battle goes on. This battle goes on, who do you belong to? Who are you going to agree with? That's the battle. Even after you're saved, there's a battle for who are you going to serve? You cannot serve two masters. Jesus himself says it, amen? So you're in this battle, who to serve? And everything in the world is trying to tell you it doesn't matter. Even church, it doesn't matter. And then people who are full of legalism and beating you over the head and making you feel condemned, you know, they get this bad reputation because they're coming from the wrong spirit, right? But you don't overcorrect. You don't overcorrect by then everything's okay, all right? You want to live in this place where it's real. So when Holy Spirit comes in, so now we have Father, consuming fire. We have Jesus seated at the right hand of the Father. What is Jesus doing now in this church age? What does it say that he's doing? He's interceding. He's praying for us. He's praying for us, and he's praying for our nations, and he's praying for the Father's will, and he's praying. So how many know we ought to spend more time praying? If God himself, if the Son of God, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, King of Kings, spends this much time praying, then we ought to spend a little bit of time interceding. Amen? And so here's Jesus, and this is when it comes to you personally and the area that you're in a struggle with. Let's just go there, okay? So here's Jesus. Now, here's how I see it. Here's the Father. Father is so in faith. I mean, Father is so holy. The Father is so mighty. He really doesn't even entertain anything outside of his will. He's just so big. He's not wringing his hands. He laughs at the devil. He literally laughs at what the devil's up to. He's just so powerful and big. Because he is not, he's God, and Jesus is the way into him. We need Jesus. Jesus sees things in a way that relates to man, that the Father is too full of bigness to see, if you want to say that. Do you know what I'm saying? So here's the father, and let's just take some, we'll just use, who wants me to use their story? Raise your hand, anybody? I won't tell too much. Okay, so here is John, tall John. Taller than my husband, John, who's also a tall John. So here is tall John, and he's like, you know, y'all know John. And here's Jesus interceding. He goes, okay. And he looks over and sees the Father, knows what the Father's up to, and he sees what the Father has for John. He sees his future. He sees his calling. Okay, he sees all these mighty things that the Father has planned for John. And here's Jesus. And Jesus is going, okay, Holy Spirit, what's happening? And here's Holy Spirit communicating with Jesus. And that's why when you pray in tongues, you actually release mysteries between the Holy Spirit and Jesus to come and help out in your life. So you ought to pray in tongues more, amen. And it releases mysteries and you get understanding about things. So it's really cool to fast and pray. So here's Jesus. Here's Holy Spirit going, okay, well, John doesn't quite get yet some of the things that he doesn't have compassion for because his life's been pretty easy. But he's got all this zeal. And then you got Jesus up here going, okay, but the Father sees him full of compassion. The Father sees him full of power. And the Holy Spirit's like, yeah, but... And then I believe Jesus is like, you know what, we need to... He might need some testing. He's got to see where his faith is really at. And the enemy is asking to deal with this area of his life. Like Peter was dealt with. Maybe there's a little pride or something. And Jesus is like, okay, but it can't go beyond this, and this is what's going to happen. And he's going to come out of it like gold, and then he's going to strengthen his brethren, because then he will be what the Father's seeing. Amen? Now, take somebody with blatant sin issues. No, none of those people raise their hands, so I'll just make one up. So there's this person named, Betty. And probably when this goes on the radio, there'll really be a Betty. There's this person named Betty who sleeps around. And she sleeps around, but she says she's not going to anymore. And every time she sleeps around, it's because she actually thinks she's in love. And she goes to church and she hangs out with Christians. And she really has a relationship with God to some degree. And she justifies the sleeping around. So here we have Jesus interceding. God. He sees what God has for Betty. He sees that God has, number one, this awesome relationship that he's going to bring into her life once she cleans her life up. He can't bring that relationship in with this kind of stuff going on. And then he sees her children. He sees what he has for her life. He sees the calling. He sees it all. The father's like this perfect faith, like, yes, this is what we have written down in the book for Betty. And Betty's down here going to church on Sunday and maybe another night, but then going to bars or something, or the single hangouts trying to find the guy and feeling so alone, or so she's going to be skipped by, that she justifies and comes up with the reason why it's okay to sleep with this guy, thinking, of course, she'll save him and he'll become a Christian. Can you know you're not going to save somebody in the middle of sinning with them? The Bible says you'll win them by your good works. Amen. Just concept. So Jesus is interceding. So what is he interceding? Holy Spirit, get her to a meeting where she can get healed and not be afraid of being alone. Get her to a meeting where she can break the generational curse of sexual sin that came in with her grandmother and her mother. Break the generational. Do you see what I'm saying? He's ever interceding to get her where she needs to be. And the Holy Spirit's like, okay, all right, we're going to do this because the Father sees this. And so God will work all kinds of things. Betty could be just... driving out here over the overpass, and just whole angels like, look there, and oh, this is church. Well, that doesn't look like a normal church. Wow, they got a Tuesday night meeting. I'm not doing anything, it's Tuesday night. I work Sunday, so the only time I could go is Tuesday night. And they come in, and the topic that Holy Spirit decides to change what I was thinking, and all of a sudden I'm preaching on something totally different about people who think they need a person or codependency. You see what I'm saying? All of a sudden I'm like, you know, I've heard me say this. This wasn't my message. This isn't what I was planning, right? Holy Spirit's like, yeah, there's a servant who preaches the word who we can say what we want through. Oh, but somebody over here is going, oh, they're preaching against me. They know what's going on with me. Who told them about me? Well, if you ever feel like that, then listen. But there's a high probability I wasn't even thinking, I had nothing to do with you personally, but God knows what he's doing. Amen? As if it convicts you, then go for it. Amen? Get free. And then all of a sudden, Betty comes in and she says, I don't know, something different about that place. And God starts to what? Break through and convict. Now, if Joe Smo, who thinks they know everything, walks up to Betty, second time in the church, and says, well, we don't let people wear clothes like that. Then Joe Smo might just be making Betty run out the door and go back to the lifestyle God's trying to rescue her from. Amen? And so it's this, I mean, wow, to be Jesus. The Father's got it. You know what I'm saying? He's like, whew. I know when I'm coming back. I know what I'm going to do. Oh, the devil's trying to make me come back sooner than I'm planning. Send my son sooner. Let's take this guy and make him president. He's got a big mouth. He'll stand against all this. And here's Holy Spirit like, oh my gosh, the church is going to try to crucify this guy. And Jesus is like, that's okay. I've already been crucified for him. You know, I mean, can you imagine how awesome it is to be God and all these things going on all the time, all over the world? But we have been born again, and now we are in that picture. Amen? We are in that picture. Now, if I recognize that I am in Christ Jesus and not in condemnation, I'm going to be a part of talking to Holy Spirit and revealing my problems to Holy Spirit and asking him to show me how to get free. I'm going to be praying in agreement with Jesus for me to be who God says that I am. I'm going to begin to see myself the way God sees me. Amen? In Christ, you have to see yourself the way God sees you. Amen? And so you need to read who he says that you are. Now you can choose not to be that. That's free will. And you're going to keep struggling, having problems, as long as you choose to not want to be who God says that you are. Amen? This isn't a kind of take parts and leave parts. This is really about lordship. But at least if you understand how this works. Now, as I get freer, and we're going to talk about this, we're going to end in a few minutes, for the next couple Sundays. But as I recognize that Christ is in me, the hope of glory. Glory means the hope of being all that God's called me to be, having his promises, being filled with his presence, hearing him, walking with him, knowing him, tasting him, seeing how great he is, all the things that are his glory, amen? If I know he's inside of me, I'm now on that journey. I am on that journey, okay? And he is in there, and our part is to yield to him for the flesh to die, amen? Our part is to spend the time in his word doing what? Renewing our minds. Renewing your mind means, okay, this is what the world says. This is what wrong preaching has said. This is what things look like. This is what the teachers in school say. This is what culture says. But I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. I'm supposed to seek first his kingdom, his righteousness. So it's more important to understand his kingdom than the US of A. It's more important to understand his kingdom than being of a certain denomination. It's more important to understand his kingdom and be in right standing with him. I want to be right where he wants me to be in his kingdom. So if I want to understand his kingdom, I need to read his word to renew my mind. It's no different than if you go to live in another country. If you go to live in another country, you have to go by their laws, right? You have to go, no matter how bad they are. You may think you're all that in a bag of chips, but if you go to a Muslim nation, that's a really strong Muslim nation, and you choose to not go by their laws, you will have their punishment. But you say, but that's not right. I'm an American citizen. I don't believe in their laws. Well, I don't want to encourage you to do this, but if you go to one of those places and God hasn't sent you and divinely protects you, and you break one of those laws, I don't care how women's lib you are. I don't care how much you think you can do anything and wear anything. Go to one of those nations and wear what you would wear to the beach in America and see how long before you pay the consequences of what their laws allow. Amen? When we go to India and parts of the Philippines, mainly India, we dress different than we do here. If you don't believe me, look at the beautiful videos. I can wear these pants, though. They're linen, but I got to wear something to here and down to here. I've never been to a Muslim nation. I can understand why Marilyn Hickey wears the whole nine yards. I never did before. I thought, well, no. It's different to say I'm not going because I'm not going to agree with that. You see what I'm saying? But you're under their laws in their nation. Do you understand what I'm saying? So in the kingdom, you are under God's laws. And you need to understand what they are. And so the cool thing about being in Christ is it's not just head knowledge about these. You renew your mind, which is head knowledge. But the cool thing about being in the Spirit, while I renew my mind, I hang out with God while I'm doing it. It's a lot more fun. And he gives me revelation. And revelation is God speaking to you through his word while you're learning. And all of a sudden, you're not just getting hid knowledge, because in Christ, in the kingdom, there is actually a teacher who has come to live inside of you. Amen? And he wants to teach you through his word. Why? So it doesn't become legalistic and bring death. And it's so much fun. If you would get in Christ and read the word in Christ, you'll love the word of God. You will love it. You will literally love it. You will wake up in the middle of the night and actually want to read it. And then you're so tired, you're trying to you just want to read some more, but you can't help it. You got to go to sleep. And you live out your day, and but you know when a problem comes, if you're in Christ, that he is going to answer you in his word. You know it. You're like, show me, God, teach me. You love word studies because all of a sudden I can find out what he has to say about this. So it doesn't matter what culture says about it. If I'm in the kingdom, what does God say about how I should dress? If I'm in the kingdom, and then if I don't get in revelation in Christ, I could get legalistic and actually have the wrong heart towards something in the word, and it can bring death. Why is God saying what he's saying? Why is he saying that? What is his heart? What is he about? What is he trying to stop? What is he trying to do? What is he trying to change? Amen? Instead of just reading something and making a law out of it without the heart of God. In the kingdom, there is no such thing as a spiritual law without the Spirit. There's legal laws you can make up in your own brain. Do this, don't do this. That brings death. He died to get you free from that. Amen? In the Spirit, there's spiritual laws that's like, oh, I get it. I get it. So there's spiritual laws. For example, which we'll go ahead, we'll end with this, we'll go into this. He says, well, let me finish this. As you are renewing your mind in the Spirit, right? As you are worshiping and praying in tongues and hanging out with God in the Spirit, as you are going through sanctification or getting things out that don't belong there and you agree with God in the Spirit, right? What's happening? You're getting more and more full of God. More and more full of his presence. And eventually what happens, and it's awesome, you'll come to that place the Bible calls entering into the rest where you're in Christ. All of a sudden, it's like he comes out of your mouth and out of your pores. I mean, it was so powerful in the lives of the early apostles that their shadows were so anointed that people got healed. It wasn't their shadow, it was the presence of God surrounding them. How many would like to get to that? How many think that would be awesome? Not to be able to start a big ministry and make a lot of money, your motive is wrong. But then it would be very cool to be so close with God and love God so much that when you walk in a place, you seriously change the atmosphere because you are in Christ. Because you are in Christ. and you just live in that place. That is what we're supposed to be as believers. That's where we're supposed to head. And it does require renewing your mind, getting intellect in the control of the Holy Spirit, and yielding to God. And we've all seen people who get... anyway, we won't talk about it. There are people, you know, the Bible says not many wise among you. So this is a cool thing. In Christ, you don't have to be extremely gifted in intellect. You don't have to be extremely rich. And you can enjoy this awesome life in Christ. But we've all seen people who've taken that and chosen not to deal with their issues. And then they just become strange. And they become people who turn you off to God. I'm not talking about that. We can actually have some really powerful people in Christ who have great jobs. And like Jay Sekulow. Wow, Jay Sekulow, I've been praying for him for years, and he's now actually working with the President of the United States. And he knows the laws, and he knows the Word of God, and he knows the heart of God. It's amazing, amen? So God's not telling us to use Christianity as our excuse for not getting educated, as our excuse for not working, he's not doing that. And a lot of people have done that. And we've turned a lot of people off to being in Christ. And so now people want to go to intellectual church where it looks okay. I believe God is going to fill this place up with people from all walks of life, and we're going to become in one accord, and we're going to become in Christ, and we're going to together really see what that looks like. Amen? We're going to see what that looks like to see people in Christ from all different cultures, all different social levels, all different educational levels, and actually not compare ourselves to one another, but just embrace what it looks like to be in Christ. Amen? So we have to start with the Christ in us. And this is my prayer for us this week. Recognize the Christ in you and begin to nurture that relationship. Amen? Begin to nurture that relationship with reading the Word and asking Holy Spirit to come and teach you. Asking Holy Spirit to help you understand. Nurture that relationship by putting on a little bit of praise music or worship music and just with nobody around, putting your hands up or putting the earphones in and asking Holy Spirit to increase in your life. Just asking Holy Spirit to help you. Amen? Seeing the things that you know shouldn't be there in your life and asking Holy Spirit to help you get rid of them. Studying the Word to be approved. Amen? And then you can pray in tongues and these other things build up your most holy faith. We'll talk about that more. But this is the key. We do not want to be carnal Christians. If you're a carnal Christian, you're not going to be in Christ. You're going to have Christ in you, and you're still going to have hope for glory, but you're going to look like the world. Amen? And you're going to struggle like the world. And the truth is, God is wanting a people who reveal Him, because that's really where the most awesome part of all this is. Amen? And that's what He died for, us to be in Him and to reveal His glory. People will get saved if they see Christ. I just went and got my hair cut, and I walked in, and this is an older woman. She's my age, so older. And never was church, didn't know anything about Jesus hardly. And I just knew when I walked in, I felt the Lord say, I just knew. It's like, okay, the Lord's like, ask her if she... you know about your daughter dying years ago, because they were talking about all our kids being the same age. And I opened the conversation. She starts crying, and she's like, you know, there's just something about you. You're just so awesome. I'm like, you know that's not true. You just know it's God. It's about God. And so I gave her my book. But she was basically saved before she walked out the door. I didn't have to do an altar call. I didn't have to do all they... They just need to see Christ in you. Amen? They just need to see Christ in you and you in Christ. If you walk this out right, your children, your coworkers, people know there's something different about you. And not because you're weird. There's a lot of weird people who really aren't in Christ. They're in some counterfeit spirituality, and hopefully they're born again. Amen? I'm not talking about that. One way to know is you're really pretty normal, like in your thinking and stuff, but when God takes over, He can be really wild, but your brain is going, this is really strange, God. I hope nobody's watching. What are you doing? If it's like, ooh, everybody's looking at me, something's wrong. You need some healing, amen? So there's a hurt place there that needs to be healed. And we've kind of given up the true spirituality of being in Christ because of all the abuse that we've seen, amen? Or because of the people who have used it. Instead of letting Christ heal them, they've used it to feel better about themselves. And you never want to use, you know, spirituality, signs and wonders and that kind of thing to feel better about yourself. It's a counterfeit, folks. You take on a counterfeit. I mean, being in Christ is just awesome. And you're fine if you never look at all strange, you know. It's like easier. But you're okay if you're somewhere and God decides to move, and he knows how much to reveal and how much not to reveal. He knows how to fill the place with his presence. He knows how to shake you all over if he needs to make the devil run out at the door in somebody and stop you from being mugged or robbed or whatever. I mean, he knows how to have you pray, however wild that looks, to see somebody raised from the dead. You know, he is in charge of that. He knows the level of going in the spirit that you have to go into to get that victory. And in Christ, you're like, you're just, okay, God, we're going to do what you want. Like we talked about this morning. Let's do whatever you want. And we want to be in Christ. Amen? Now, if you love this teaching, and you better say you love this teaching, then we want you to check out our web at beautyforashes.org. There is so much teaching there, and there's a resource library there. And also, check out my Facebook page at Cindy Foster Beauty for Ashes Ministry. We'd love you to partner with us and come along for the ride into the apostolic. God bless you.